My guest this afternoon is Kevin Rhodes. He is the music director of the Traverse Symphony Orchestra. He's joining me on the phone from his new home in Traverse City. Last time we spoke, you were living in Springfield, Massachusetts. So welcome to Michigan. You're a Michigander now. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Michigan has been part of my life since 1982 in one way or another. So in a way, it really feels like coming home.
Yeah, now it's official. And you know, you can listen to WCMU on our brand new transmitter there on 94.3 FM.
That is so exciting. And we're going to be sure and share that with all of our patrons and fans at the Traverse Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, thanks so much. So all week long, we've been celebrating Beethoven, the 250th anniversary year of his birth. And we've been celebrating his life and music and trying to get a better idea of the reach of his influence on music and also just the sheer amount of music that he composed. Could you weigh in on that, your thoughts, your general thoughts about Beethoven?
Well, you know, there are so many things one could say. I'm going to say one of those lines that you hear in music appreciation class, but it really is true. And Beethoven really is, I think, the first composer who was completely uninterested in whether you liked it or not. He wasn't interested in giving you a nice background music for your formal dinner of the aristocracy or something like this. He was interested in saying something. And sometimes that thing is violent. Sometimes that thing is passionate to the point of everything breaking. Sometimes it is so heart-achingly beautiful that you just want to go into a corner and cry. So he's giving you such a world of emotion that the guys who came before him, they just weren't thinking in those terms. You know, when, you know, writing music for the church or the opera house, of course, there's lots of drama and lots of passion in the operas of Mozart or whomever, or the oratorios of masses of Bach and so forth. But this is a new thing with Beethoven and a new way of approaching writing and playing music.
That is very well said. And Beethoven was a pianist, and you are a pianist, and
yes.
Is it safe to say that as a pianist, you probably started right off with Beethoven and worked up from there as a pianist?
You know, I think my earlier memories, you know, once you get out of the basic, you know, books that, you know, teach you the white keys and the black keys, my memory is that I had some Bach, either two-part inventions or the Anna Magdalena notebook. And I always get that confused with the PDQ Bach Betty Sue notebook. Anyway, and pieces like this, Clementi, Scarlatti, and so forth and so on. You know, I'm sure Fiorilisa came in there somewhere along the way, the nice pretty piece. But one of my first things that I remember trying to put my fingers around really with Beethoven was the Pathétique Sonata, and so the thing about this was I really latched on to this idea of either whispering at the piano or really just screaming at the piano. And later on, I, you know, discovered some things about Beethoven's childhood and so forth and so on, and found a few, unhappy echoes in my own childhood. My parents, nowadays we would say I grew up in a dysfunctional home. Back then, we just said they fought all the time. And when I had this Beethoven for the first time in my hands, this was the first time at the piano I could drown out the yelling. And I don't want to get too dark and dim here, but these associations for me with Beethoven, with his music, with playing his music, are kind of indelible, I think.
Wow, so Beethoven's music was actually very healing for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And And like I say, it provided a channel to express the things that my little kid self wanted to be able to express but didn't have the words for, and express things that Mozart didn't express, Bach didn't express, Haydn didn't express, Clementi didn't express, Scarlatti didn't express. Beethoven did, and from there I was off and running, I suppose.
What do you think it was about Beethoven's music that did that for you?
Well, you know, it is, you know, there is just emotion pure written into every note, in a way that, like I say, his predecessors had yet discovered. They were still writing music even when they wrote symphonies and whatever to please people, right? That was, you know, and not that Beethoven didn't want to please people, but it was more about expressing the inexpressible than you find in Mozart sonatas or Haydn or so forth, and then the other folks of the time. And so the connection to music expressing emotion was so much stronger with him, and so much it's sort of like unchained, right? You know, like it's like taking off the I'm trying to think of some expression here that they have. It just isn't coming to me right now. Where you just take off the chains, take off the guardrails, and it just goes. And that's really what Beethoven does, I think. At least in my opinion.
And do you still enjoy playing Beethoven at the piano?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. In this year, I one of the few concerts I was able to do this year was a big concert of Beethoven chamber music, and I also played that Pathetique sonata I played when I was a kid, and some of the Mozart, as well as a lot of chamber music. And it is always incredible to try to come back to this music, and I wish I had more time to devote to just studying the piano sonatas again. But, you know, conducting his symphonies, the first concert I conducted as a student back at Michigan State, the symphony was a Beethoven symphony, the second symphony. Mm-hmm. And so he was with me on my very first orchestra concert, you know, and I mean, not so that wasn't the first time I conducted, but the first time I did a concert. Everything else I had done up to that point had been theater, either musicals, operetta, or opera. And the thing that has been continually astounding to me throughout my career of conducting is how there is absolutely no point at which you get tired or bored returning to these works in the slightest. Now, I could probably say that about a great many works, but sometimes when you're preparing some piece that with an orchestra that you've done many times, they've done many times, you know, you're aware that you are just, you're going through the work of putting it out and then putting it together. And then when you get to the performance, everything will turn on. But with Beethoven, every time, the entire rehearsal process, it's a very unique atmosphere in an orchestra, and a very special atmosphere to be rehearsing it, this music again. And there's just no end to how you can play it, how you might want to play it. It's indescribably unique.
Yes, and of course, there's so much music and so many different interpretations, different tempi, different, you know, everything by different performers and conductors. But every time you could hear something new, something different.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure.
So what are a couple of your favorites as far as piano pieces and also the symphonies?
Piano pieces. Well, it's probably easier for me to start with symphonies because there's far fewer of them. And if I were going to talk about my favorite to actually conduct, that is no contest, and that is very easy to tell you. That is the Sixth Symphony, mm-hmm. The Pastoral. This is my absolute favorite Beethoven symphony to conduct, if not one of my favorite pieces ever to conduct. It's probably a tie between, and this will sound crazy, but Beethoven Pastoral and Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony.
Oh, wow.
those are my two worlds that I'm happiest in somehow. But and you know, because the Pastoral is among symphonies in general, it's very, very special and unique. And certainly among Beethoven symphonies, it's very, very special and unique. And the thing I love perhaps the most about it, that's silly to say the most, but one of the things I really love about this symphony is that its last movement is not one of these traditional fast last movements with a race to the finish, or, you know, even the Ninth Symphony, you know, it's a fast last movement, even though it has many, many different sections. And but the general sense of is of a concluding movement in that sort of sense. And this pastoral, the concluding movement of that is a very long movement, and it's very moderato. It's not at all fast. It's in no hurry. It's like enjoying this beautiful twilight after the storm has passed. And that's the thing I love about that. In the piano music, you know, there's so much of his works that I myself never got around to playing when I was studying piano. And certainly the last sonatas would be on that list of pieces that I wish I had time to really I wish that was my job, just to devote time to getting those pieces in my fingers and in my head. But as far as what I love playing, it's an absolute, you know, it's one of the first things any kid plays. That's the first movement, the slow movement of the Moonlight, of course, the C sharp minor. You know, when I do it, I voice it in, I guess, kind of a specific way. People have said, "Oh wow, you're phrasing things in there differently than I'm used to," and as trite as it may sound, I can just sit down at the piano and have a really great time playing through that slow movement of the Moonlight. Like I say, that sounds really trite and really cliche, but it really is true. But I do love just opening up the volume of sonatas and just going through them, you know, regardless of whatever comes out of my fingers. Each one is just more amazing than the one before it. And as soon as you start to say, "Oh, this one is so special," then this other one comes up to mind.
And you have 32 to choose from.
Well, yes, absolutely. Each with multiple movements.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a bad measure in any of them. I can say that. How's that for a review?
So as we celebrate Beethoven this week and this season, if you could sit down and have dinner with Beethoven, what would you ask him?
I that would be an interesting conversation.
Yes.
Would this be in a senior state, but imagining that his hearing was there, or what?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
That's the first question. What do I ask it? Because many of my questions would have to do with how much he was actually hearing as he was writing his mid and late pieces. And when he delivers us concrete information about tempo or whatever, I would love to have some discussions with him about that and try to understand a little bit more what's behind those numbers that we have, many of which are very controversial in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And not only fast, because there are a few that are controversial in their slowness as well. And then there's a few where we have, "Oh, is that a misprint? Some ink get in there and it should be a quarter note instead of a half note." You know, we have all kinds of questions about this. But so these are some questions I would love to know. I would love to ask him about this, his process of writing, you know, because we have so many fantastic sketches of his music, you know, where he would change things, cross things out, you know, "Okay, try this. No, that doesn't work. Try this and that. No, that. Yes, this little bit." And, you know, and it's amazing to imagine how these things ever came to be printed in the first place, because it looks like the work of a 3-year-old with a crayon, right? Sometimes it's so crazy to look at. And you know, the struggle to produce the music is right there on the page of his sketches. So I'd love to discuss that struggle with him, you know, in the great play and film of Amadeus by Peter Schaeffer. He has these wonderful lines that he puts in the mouth of Salieri about the music just coming out of Mozart. And he's just, you know, going through the process of writing it down on the page. It's all in his head. He just has to get it down on the page. And in Beethoven, this isn't at all the process, you know. And I think this is, you know, you see the struggle. The struggle was real, right? That's a phrase nowadays. The struggle's real. Well, it certainly was real for Beethoven. And I think this is one of the things that makes his music so much, how should I say, more human, perhaps, in a way, than maybe Mozart's, because you can feel the struggle inherently in there. And struggle is, of course, an inherent part of being human. Just sitting down and everything coming out easily, that's not very human at all.
Well, and isn't it interesting that this year of all years, as we celebrate Beethoven's 250th year, I mean, we have all gone through our own isolation and struggles, and I just think it's interesting that maybe we can even identify more with Beethoven this of all years.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm certainly not the only person who has imagined that when we're able to get a chorus together and soloists and a full orchestra, and we first have the opportunity to play something, that the Ninth Symphony is going to be one of the first things you decide to either do or not do when you have the occasion to be able to do something with chorus again. And projecting forward to what that will feel like, playing that Ninth Symphony, playing that conclusion in that moment in time, and all that we will have all gone through between now and when we have that moment in time, it's going to be very powerful.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
I can already feel this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be very powerful. It's going to be very moving. And the fact that we lost the Beethoven year, it's going to make it all the more special when we come back to life as usual. And I certainly plan on recapturing as much Beethoven as we can right off the bat to make up for all that we've lost here in 2020.
Oh, we look forward to that. Thank you so much. And thanks for joining me today and taking the time to give us your thoughts on Beethoven. Kevin Rhodes is music director of the Traverse Symphony Orchestra and a brand new Michigander. Again, welcome. And thank you so much as we wish happy birthday to Ludwig van Beethoven.
Thank you, Judy. It's great to talk with you and all of your listeners.
Thanks. You too.